Hopefully everyone's having a good night. Bruce, are you available? Not sure if you're doing something or whatever. Yeah, hopefully everyone's having a good day. I guess the news of the day was kind of like the Federal Reserve keeping the interest rates unchanged. And for some reason, I really have no idea why, like, all my stocks and shit mooned, which is kind of cool, but I have no idea why. So, no clue what's going on there. But hopefully the crypto dump is over and off to have some more fun and games. Bruce, what's up?
I'm good. Where are you? Outside. I'm outside in a park in the middle of nowhere.
Okay. You have reception though. What are you walking
I think so. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, you're fine.
Yeah, I'm fine. I feel a little bit paranoid about not mentioning too much about crypto in case anyone hears the Coach Bruce voice.
Oh, out of the park, yeah. That'd be bad.
There's many people around.
I wasn't paying attention to what I had left on Ox.fun. I got all of my money liquidated.
Is there any left at all? Is it just zero?
I don't know. It was like 30,000 Ox or something.
Go on, build back. Didn't I give you like, I think I gave you like 100K though.
Yeah, so you did.
You got 30, you can build back. Just fucking go max long.
I just wasn't paying attention. I was like doing other shit. And I was like, it'll probably get liquidated. I didn't worry about it too much.
Go max long.
That's exactly what happened.
The problem was you had Vault stakers hoping for you to make them rich.
Yeah. Now the Vault stakers went to zero or something close to it.
Now their ambitions is like dead.
Initially, I had the like title of my vault like, beware this. I'm gonna send this fucking thing to zero by full like degen. I guess nobody listened.
But I think at this point, for anyone who's still in your vault, you need to try and make it back, because otherwise they're gonna miss out on the entire bull market.
Oh, it misses the entire point, huh? Yeah,
just like long something again. I would a long, maybe a long rune just to see what happens. So max long rune.
Yeah. I just kind of like, it's paying attention to what's happening to Ox's price at any given moment. That's the trick. And, it's like, you've got to kind of watch that while also watching whatever shit is going down. So,
to have a truly stress-free experience, you need to hedge.
Yeah. You need to hedge. Yeah.
Cause, liquidation can sneak up on you with cross margin, especially.
Mm-hmm. Yep. But at the same time, if you're hedging, it misses the point. So it's like,
well, I mean, there are decent hedges that can diverge more on one side and have a good upside as well. But I don't know. It depends.
I could have easily fixed the position by just sending a bunch of money over and just, you know, like protecting it. But I just, I was busy with whatever shit and I just kind of whatever. I don't know. It's like, I think I burned like 10K or something. It's not a big deal.
I gave you like 1K. Did you add more or did you just?
Yeah. I sent like 10,000.
Oh, fuck.
So I just burned it. It's not a big deal.
You just blew yourself up. So you had like a million Ox at some point.
No, it was like a few hundred thousand or something.
That's not 10K.
Whatever. I don't remember what.
10K would have been near a million Ox.
I don't know. The portfolio was worth like 18K for a while, so I'm not sure exactly what it was.
That would be about a million and a half. It's okay. Averaged about 1.3 cents, something like that.
Okay. Yeah, I don't remember what it was, but the total portfolio for a bit was worth positions and all was like 18K. I think you're right. I think I started out with like, maybe I sent 3K over. I just can't remember right now. Anyway, like
I think less than
some amount. Yeah. This is how like flippant I was with the money. I just kind of like sent some random money over and just lost it all. It's Chuck E. Cheese.
It's really weird because all the people who sort of work for Ox in various capacities are all gambling their own like salaries or money. So it's like it's almost this weird system designed to wreck the employees or the team.
That's funny. So why is everyone gambling like their own shit on there?
It seems I mean it starts with like testing, and then testing turns into starting a vault, like, and then starting
leverage,
a vault, then
leverage
into
addictions.
People start staking with you and you start wanting to compete, and then you're a dox trader. I like the conception of it as like an exchange that exposes people's LARPs. Like pretty much everyone on crypto Twitter says they win, like most of the time, right? Or they know which way the market is going. They know the sentiment. They know everything that's going to happen. They keep winning on trades. Like they're making money like crazy. You better follow them because they're making all this fucking money.
Yeah.
But in reality, most people lose, like by far most people. I've spoken to several exchange founders or core teams for exchanges now, and the stats they've told me are pretty astonishing. Like the last exchange founder I spoke to said on the average month, 91% of exchange users lose. They lose money. Like more is lost than is gained. Another one said about like 85% of people lose on average every month. And the reality is they just transfer the funds continually to better traders by losing. And also they keep depositing. So like the reality of crypto is something in the region of like 87% of people lose, even in bull markets. Like it's higher in bear markets.
Even the folks
in bull markets, most lose.
Even the folks that like win for a while, like lose at some point as well. So it's not as if like,
yeah, they overextend, they blow up, they end up putting more in than they get out. It's just like the nature of the game. The money is coming from somewhere, right?
Yeah. And it's kind of like a thing where if you happen to look at some sort of chart theory in your head or whatever, and you happen to win a few times, kind of, it's like the worst thing because people basically think they can see the future and whatnot. And that's an easy thing like to get trapped with because you see people on YouTube and whatever talking about charts and whatever else. And, you know, they make it sound like these things are predictive. So what happens is maybe you see one of those videos and you start playing around and then you sort of like, you know, win a few times, like, ooh, they are predictive, right? Like the concrete mind can't really understand the probability of, or abstract away understand the abstraction that you will in fact lose. So it's just a game that people play until they lose, I think. This is why, like, generally, like, I have focused more on just buying spot stuff. Because that way, if I'm wrong, the worst that can happen is I'm a bag holder for a while, right? Like, whatever. And there's at least the opportunity that that thing might go up in value or maybe another bull market or whatever.
Tricky.
But if it goes to zero, then it's just like, it's just gone. And then you're like, you don't have that money to play with again. Although I guess, like, technically speaking, spot bags can go practically to zero too. Like, if they lose 99% or whatever, they don't go back up.
Yeah, it's tricky. Very easy to lose everything after working hard for 2-3 years to build it back up. I gotta try and stay rational. I think I'm really good at seeing bottoms and buying at the right time and being patient, but I have not learned how to manage risk at the top or to preserve wealth. that's the thing I need to learn.
Yeah, I think like the thing is it's really tough to tell though, because here's the thing, like you'll get some sort of top in the market or whatever it is, and you'll think you'll be able to recognize it. Maybe there's like talk of tattoos and maybe there's, you know, celebrities and this and that. But the thing is that irrationality can go on for months and months. Like irrationality begins and it may go for 6+ months. The problem is your particular coin may not last that entire time. And that was a very common theme last season. So some coins last the whole bull market, some don't. some just kind of start falling. And then when they do, you figure, hey, the whole market's doing crazy. Everything's going up. My coin will go back up again. There's no guarantee that it will. And that's where the drama begins. Because by the time you've sorted out that, like, hey, wait a minute, like, my coins lost 50% from the top. It's like, and there's a true trend reversal. By that point, by the time those long moving averages start curling downward, like, you, the best you can do is exit with like a, maybe a, like a complacency shoulder or one of these exit pumps. But you don't really have a guarantee of that either. With that FTX crash, like in particular, like things just went down only for the most part and stayed down only. Remember when I bought Link? Remember I bought it like at the, what is it, 2022 or something, right? Like maybe a few months into 2022, I'm like, hey, this thing's going to 3X real quick, right? Like I buy this thing at like $5 to $7 going, hey, you know what? Like I can probably get a 3X on this thing. It'll run to $21 in no time. This is crypto, right? Like the velocity is pretty high. It turns out that like that few months turned out to be what? A year and then a year and a half. And it's like now I barely 3X that. Like at this point, but it's not as if like the timing was really particularly clear. So yeah, you wind up getting caught, and then you don't really know how long you get stuck.
To what Bruce just said, I think one thing is once you start bragging about your bags, it's better to sell some.
Do you have any concrete rules for taking profit, or are you sort of always changing them depending on the situation?
Okay, can you hear Noob there?
Sometimes. No.
I think not.
Noob, you might maybe jump back on or something. Something happened to connection. Or, oh no, Bruce is the one losing connection, I think.
What's up, Steffi?
Hey, Wabi.
What's up, Morty?
Or both of them lost connection. I don't know what happened.
Yeah.
Yep. Anyway, Wabi.
That was a great chat earlier today, wasn't it?
Yep. Yeah, we're kind of talking about the same thing in a way. It's like these AI coins and shit make me nervous, man. Like,
yeah, I think there's some new names in the AI space that can probably catch up to what some of the blue chips did. And I think in Q4 and in Q1 of next year, you'll probably see continuation of the AI stuff because like they're not going to 10x from here in the next few months unless BTC gets to like 100K, which would be like the worst thing possible as far as like how long the cycle can be. Because I think if you reach like 100K BTC within the next like 6 weeks or something, I think
we don't want that early crash.
Yeah, you'll probably get like a 40% drawdown on BTC, and almost all of these new AI tokens will be forgotten about because there's a ton of new like actual blue chips. You know, the ones that release at like a couple hundred market cap, ones who built FTV and they run up 20x, right? For these tokens right now would probably be siphoned over to some of these newer tokens or whatever. But
I think the Bruce's comment about wealth preservation is though it's like,
is he speaking right now?
He's coming back up. I think he was out for a walk, so his connection sort of sucks.
We probably only have like 6 weeks left of clean trend before people take profit and chill out for the first half of the summertime, because I've never seen market trend up going into the summertime. There's usually like the May and June dip, and then usually in July you'll start having some nice trend to the upside up until August, and then you usually have one last dip for the year.
I don't know. Like my thesis has been simple. Like BTC hits prior high.
Let me ask you a question, man. Let me ask you a question, because like you've been pretty diehard on Chainlink since I've known you. Do you regret going so heavy on Link and rather than just buying Bitcoin? Because Bitcoin has been outperforming Chainlink.
Well, I had BTC from like 15 to 18 up to like 27 to 30.
Yeah.
And I've got like my baseline BTC bag, so that's fine. But in the trading bag, like I kind of took my BTC and bought Link at the bottom. The bet was basically like a right curve type of bet where, like, you know, the technology sort of thing wins or whatever, or just like just capital velocity that, you know, it's easy to pump an altcoin, therefore it'll go up. But I don't think like anyone really knew exactly what's going to go up and how fast precisely. Right. So it was just a gamble among other things. So it's fine. Like, I'm not too worried about the fact that like some shit goes up more than others.
Did you buy Entangle at $1.30, $1.40?
Which one?
Like I told you, Entangle, NGL. It's on Mexico.
I don't remember you telling me about that one. Maybe you told someone else.
I know. I told you this about 7 days ago.
I can't remember.
on your space. On your space.
I can't recall. I did. That I did not get it though. I probably should have.
Yeah, there's still. It's
what does it do?
Omnichain, whatever that means. Yeah, but basically, like the TLDR is like, it's sort of like say in Monad, right? Like Monad's not real, but for some reason they have a $3 billion FTV. So for now, right, if something has a $3 billion FTV and there's no token, chances of it, you know, $9-10 billion on the token release, pretty high. So you can probably just bet on say and now Phantom, I guess, for the whole parallel EVM. So just take that and put in Tangray and look at shit like Layer Zero, right? Layer Zero has a pretty massive FTV and their native token LZO isn't going to be released until like probably Q2 or maybe like early Q3, whatever the summer bottom is.
The thing about Layer Zero Layer Zero is kind of like the inferior chain link, essentially. It's kind of what it is.
It's all a LARP, dude. Nobody knows what any of this does. We're just telling ourselves stories. But if you're a proponent of like the interoperable bridge thesis, and also account abstraction, that's like the biggest thing that Entangle is playing, then just compare their valuation compared to others, and there's a lot of room where Entangle can run. But I will say this, right? They're one of those low float tokens. So like,
yeah, they have like this tiny market cap and then a gigantic FTV, which is weird.
Yeah, that's what happens with most of these like VC backed tokens. But the difference with NGL is that, unlike some of the other tokens that are released on Cosmos, I think this one is going to be on its own chain. So it's an ERC-20 token right now. Is that a lot of the other tokens, right, like a Dime, those people that got into the private rounds, they're able to sell their yield onto the market. So that's why like the chart is kind of cucked right now. So NGL is you can compare it to,
yeah,
like
this is where those unlock dates are kind of a scam, because like they're getting a whole bunch of yield that they can dump.
Yeah, so it's sort of like more comparable to an Ondo, where it's low float, and the good thing is that there's no unlocks coming in for a while, and there's nobody that can like actively dump their earned yield from their locked up stake tokens from seed round, right? So I mean, if I take a look at the 4 hour and the daily right now on NGL, it reminds me of TIA, but no one's really talking about it. It's kind of like a sleeper, so I'm waiting on that. I also think Phantom can run at least one more leg up, even though it's kind of a scam chain. If you take a look at some shit like Near, where Near ran up like a clean 3x in a month just off of AI, I think there's going to be a rotation to utility now. You know, so shit like L1s, RWAs, like we saw in Q4 and early Q1, I think you're seeing the same thing happen right now, where at the start of Q4, you had that massive bounce from Rollbit. and everyone was like super horny because, you know, they did some rebrand where Robit's earning all this money and all that stuff. And people were like super bullish on Unibot because I remember like they got hacked or some shit. I don't know what happened. And they're like, oh, bullish hack. This shit's going to go up straight to back to all time highs. Ticker Bitcoin's going to go up only again now that Bitcoin's above 35K. And I thought to myself, like, nah, I kind of think that was more of a Q3 thing when people were bored. And I think that, like, you know, when Ethereum was chatting in February, a lot of people just aped back into like degen meme coins. And I did too. I did the exact same thing. I went pretty heavy on Pepe a few days after it started chatting. And shortly before, I think like 2 or 3 days before Pepe broke its old all-time high, I remember buying it and I made a post saying that, you know, the way we saw Q4 really get going is when you saw Solana start chatting and you saw Bonk starting to catch a bid. And so I just made that same correlation with Pepe. And
I feel like the next, like the total three pump, it's like if history is any teacher here, like pretty much you'd expect things to start running within about 2 to 3 weeks that remains. Cause like BTC high was hit, what, almost 2 weeks ago? You got about 2 more weeks left before like the attention. Cause I can hear murmurs at work and stuff like that. People be like, oh, what happened to your Bitcoin bags or what happened to your crypto or whatever? Like you
hear this talk and that's how it happens, dude. That's how it happens. Like, you know, like for myself, right? Like I've got like a very small Instagram account that for whatever reason, a lot of people on Twitter are trying to follow me and I'm just not going to accept anybody. But I do have some like chicks that follow me there back when I like worked during the pandemic and all that stuff. And usually like they'll message me saying what to buy and all that stuff. And I haven't gotten that yet. I mean, I got one message, but then after like this most recent slump, it's kind of like, oh, why aren't you sending me a message when things kind of pull back a bit, right? And it's just there's just too many metrics that haven't hit yet, man. Like, dude, retail does not care if Bitcoin hits an all-time high. They care if other altcoins start breaking all-time high, right? Like when you see ETH at all-time high and Solana at all-time high, brother, I promise you, like that is when dumb money starts coming back. That is when your altcoins start.
That's truly.
That is when and that's when you have to start paying attention to your bag, right? Because I know we were
talking about. I looked at that specifically, Wabi, like back, 2020, it was when BTC broke high and then ETH broke high. And right around that time is when all the other all-brand timing was.
Yep. When ETH breaks all-time high, dude, that's when you actually have to start paying attention to your bag. Because like a clean example that I can give was this shitcoin that I traded called OGN. I think it was called Origin, Origin Protocol, something like that. And yeah, Origin peaked out in like March of 2021 and then just bled out the entire cycle. And it's like, oh, but they're building NFTs and all that stuff. Aren't NFTs going higher? And it's like, yeah, but that doesn't mean just because you're bullish on a sector doesn't mean that your token is going to go to like 50 like, mil, right?
People in a lot of that shit just for the pump and dump, quite frankly. Like,
yeah, dude, like all this stuff, dude, all this stuff has a cap. That's the thing. It all has a cap. The only things that don't have caps are L1s and memes and now gaming. I think gaming is going to be absolutely like stupidly massive. I think that's probably the one sector that people haven't caught attention to. Like, dude, I've got a bag of Prime, bro. And I put in about 6 months ago, I put in about one BTC into Prime, which at the time was like 27-28K. And that thing is 10x, bro. Like right under my nose. And the only person that really talks about it is Ansem, but that's like one tweet amidst his like 1,000 tweets a day. Nobody else has really talked about Prime. And this thing, dude, like did a clean 10X And it's part of the AI and gaming narrative, and no one's really talking about it. So, and even Beam as well. Beam has done quite well. I used to have a bag of that. I also have a bag of shrapnel. I haven't checked the price in that for a while, but I've had it for a few months. I have a bag of Crown from 6 months ago, and I also have some Compete from like months and months ago, and that shit's been doing quite well too. And I don't really see my timeline looking at gaming. And if we talk about like retail trends, I think memes are going to onboard, but gaming is going to keep them active. Cause like the only thing you can really do with memes right now is just press the buy and the sell button, right? You attract retail through memes because of the virality effect, and then you keep them because of the Ponzonomics. So last cycle there was DeFi, and I think this cycle you're probably going to have some gaming. Yeah, and you're already DeFi, seeing the gamification DeFi kingdoms.
That was, what's the other one? Axie Infinity and all that.
Axie. You're starting to have like the gamification of making people get locked in, right? So you have some games that are actually fun to play, like a My Pet Hooligan, like a Prime and Compete, right? So I know there's probably going to be some other games that are released like next year that people just don't know about. And people need to realize that, like, you know, if you're in here right now, you can't be thinking that this time is different, because if you're a believer in four-year cycle theory, right, then you know the way markets work in general, you usually have the Q1 rally, right? And that's typically started through Wall Street bonuses that are given out at around like late January, early February. And this shit happens every single year. It even happened in 2022, brother. When we dipped from like, what was it, 43 to 32, and then we rallied from early February to late March. And we also had the same thing happen in 2021, in 2020, in 2019. It's been happening every single year, right? So if you're a believer in seasonality, right, when it comes to bull markets, then, you know, you would say to yourself, right, we have a clean 6 to 7 weeks, right? From here all the way to early May to maximize as much upside as possible.
Realize the first few months are going to be the most obvious few months. And then
Q1 and Q4 are always the meat of the move.
The last three.
An example.
But I was going to say, hold on. The last 3 months, though, is going to be like you could have peaks in the last 3 months of like a 6 month move. But the problem is that that time period is much riskier, basically.
I don't know, man, because last year, something like Injective or a Solana, right? Injective peaked out in Q1 at $10. Solana peaked out in Q1 at $28. They did absolutely nothing except range against Bitcoin for 8 months.
Well, I'm not talking about bear market dynamics. I'm just saying, like,
last year was pretty bullish, man. I'm just saying that, like, when you take a look at markets as a general, right, even 2021, most of the upside volatility happened in Q1, and you could have fucked off and then just come back during the summer dump, bought Luna at $5, bought Phantom at 15 cents, bought AVAX at $9, and then just sell during the Christmas rally. It's that simple. And people, I think people are going to fall for like the ETF flows, because it's all just a psyop. For now, it works, right? Like, yeah. ETF this, ETF that. But just from a seasonal perspective, we're supposed to be going up, dude. It's Q1. It's the start of the year. This is, Q1 is what sets the tone for the rest of the year.
From a seasonal perspective, we are still early in the bull cycle for the stock market.
Yeah.
So ETFs, they are a stock market guy buys, right? So I wouldn't say that. Yeah. You know, I wouldn't say that. There's enough folks that have waited a long time to actually be able to ape into that asset class and earn their funding fees by recommending it to something.
I'm still in the boat of, like, you know, just BTC high break, and you basically get a 5 month run after 5 to 6 month run after that. And like a lot of the alts basically will run, ETH will run, everything will just start pumping. And then people exert leverage going in about like, so within about 2 to 3 months, you're going to see people using their, let's say ETH and other collaterals. And then they start pumping everything else with leverage and everything just goes to the moon, every random junk coin and whatever. And I think like, to me, like that's, scene is more important than maybe like stock market seasonality or like what month we're in and stuff. It's not so much the month we're in, it's the how many months after BTC breaks high that actually matters to, in my mind. Because here's the reason why. The simple answer is that when BTC breaks high, all the Bitcoin bros around here, we all start talking with our friends and stuff, like, you know, about, you know, BTC, or people start asking you or whoever. Everyone gets euphoric. That euphoria then leads to the new group of new batch of people that want to buy. And then the search trend start pumping for alts because they want to buy something cheaper than Bitcoin, and then everything runs. And I don't think like there's any reason to fade that that will happen again. And really, even the Google Trends is really suggesting the same thing's happening right now. So unless we believe like people ran out of money or something, which doesn't seem to be the case, because stocks and everything are pumping pretty nice. So I think we'll be fine right now. So, but the real trick is, because Bruce was here earlier, he's like, well, what about the capital preservation side of things? I think if you're going to preserve capital and you want to take the least risk, the way to do it would be is like what Robbie's saying, is that within the next 3 months, you might want to be out, right? Like you may not want to wait for the 5 months or 6 months if you know, the Pico tops and stuff, because the Pico tops may not come for your particular coin. That's the other problem. Like some coins may get to like gigatops, others may falter relatively early, and then you're kind of like scratching your head. So because the thing is, like Wabi was saying, you have lots of new things will show up in the next year or the next 2 years. There'll always be some like small cap thing you can jump into with a relatively small amount of capital with a lot more upside than to try to take your whole bag and try to eke out another 2x out of your bag, right? Because once the market caps get really big, you're basically asking yourself, wait, should I stay here for another double, right? And the numbers could get very big. Like, let's say you're up a million or whatever, and you're like, oh, a 2x from here, I'm up to 2 million. But the thing is staying in the bag you're in the way to do that? And oftentimes that's not the case. So then you're looking to rotate.
It's a pity Bruce couldn't hear me, but what I just wanted to say is, as soon as you start bragging to some people how much money you make, it's better place to actually sell something and actually sell it so you lock it up into something that's like liquid, you know, whatever you do, buy a car or buy usually, a home or whatever.
Yeah, usually too. Like if you're bragging about it, that means it's probably a material amount of money to you personally too, which probably a reason and a good enough reason, if any, to consider selling some. Even if it's not necessarily. Now, remember, all of us here started during the bear market. So the reality is like we could see our bags, you know, 10x, and then things still could go quite a bit higher because like our bags are different than everybody else's, right? Like, so it depends on when you get in.
Exactly. So it's really hard to give a common advice, like time wise. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just around 3 months. You could advise to start looking into exiting, but it really depends on what you're holding, right? I mean, it's like, where was your entry? What is your expectation and all of that? You know, it's really not that easy to actually give that advice. I mean, 1 year from today, it could still be in a bull market. For all we know, right? It could just slowly creep up possible. For 1 year, or it could just peak out and front run the whole thing, or we get a double top or even a triple top. I mean, everything's in the cards, right?
Yeah.
Just from a total perspective, but what it means for an individual bag, hell, you could be so unlucky that you're just going down from now.
And this is why, like, the entire bull market, this is why one of my theories is, particularly for bags that are really, really high priority, very high technical fundamentals. Like there are some bags that are worth having gigantic bags of and just not messing with them. Like that's why, you know, like that's my thesis with Chainlink. One of my concerns is like, maybe I just won't sell it. It doesn't matter what it does. It'll be like, wait 5 years, wait 2 cycles essentially, and run it up to like $1,000 or something like that, as opposed to trying to time markets and fuck around with it. Especially because there's like between tax implications and picking tops and whatever else, you have no idea how long the bull market will last this time or what's going on, right? So if you have a very, very high conviction fundamentals play, like, you know, Link is clearly like the technical leader in terms of the ability to create a credible layer zero, essentially, at this point. So if that's the case, maybe the best thing to do is just leave it the fuck alone. Like, just don't touch it. You know, do the Bitcoin thing, basically hodl the shit out of it for a lifetime. So there are probably bags like that that one should consider. And then there's other shit like, even at this moment, I'm looking at, like, take, for example, Dogecoin versus Link. Which one's going to do better? It is very possible that Dogecoin just absolutely fucking rips. Because, like, it's at, like, 15 cents right now. It was at 20 cents just, like, what, a week ago or whatever. So, like, it could easily run to that very fast. And then, you know, beyond that, you know, reaching prior high could happen within, like, a matter of weeks. It can move really quick now, right? So the thing is...
And still Doge is, like, a safe bet when it comes to meme coins, right?
Because
it's not like the new thing that... What was it? That trans coin or whatever.
Being the king of meme coins and having a broad distribution at this point and having tons of dead wallets and nobody's using... the reality is, like, you'll wake up so many wallets when price starts to go up, right? And those people will be like, ooh, I'm going to get some more or whatever. Like, I remember when Doge did blah, 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 and they'll go crazy. So, like, I think even compared to, like, Shiba Inu and some of these other larger cap ones, Doge is an obvious one. And then if I, you know, someone mentioned earlier today, it's like, you know, Pepe is not unreasonable if you're in the ETH ecosystem and you're like, I want to have the ETH play, right? And that's kind of like the ETH ecosystem meme play for that ecosystem, which is reasonable. But Doge is really even simpler than that, because it's you don't even have to find an exchange. You don't have to go to a DEX or anything. It's everywhere. And it's like, people are going to buy it. It's like a given. If you believe, like, crypto is going up, like, Doge is going up for sure. And so, like, would it actually pump even harder than something like a Link? It's quite possible. Because the thing is, like, the fundamental shit, it's like, you're betting on a few things on the fundamentals-based shit. You're betting that media gives you attention because, like, you're considered legit. So, like, Chainlink, you know, maybe it gets more media attention. Sure. You're betting on the fact that, like, maybe institutions will buy in because they feel like it's a legit thing. Maybe there's an ETF at some point. Maybe there's, like, there's network effect of real adoption and all that shit. But with Doge, it's like, you don't need to know any of that shit. It's like, oh, I'm just going to buy some Dogecoin. It'll probably go up. Like, you don't need to know anything. That's what's interesting about that. But anyway, it's worth having some of that for sure, I think, with Doge. It's just too easy at this point, especially after this pullback, by the way. It's just too easy in my view. There's like a sum total zero chance it doesn't go up. Like, it's like, what are the odds, really? That you're not going to get like a 5x on Doge from here. Oh, come on. Like, it's pretty much certain.
Yeah, someone has to come up with like a 100,000 qubit quantum computer, maybe.
Oh, yeah. Like, if you break it somehow. No, but there's also like this with the Dogenals and all this other bullshit. Like, there's definitely a more of a crowd playing with it than there was before. And people say, oh, meme coins. I know one. It's called Doge. Like, you know, they'll get themselves a bag of it. It just doesn't take much. It's such a frictionless decision to get Doge for most people. And when it goes up, everyone's going to remember, holy motherfucking shit. Like, this thing goes up like crazy. So what are they going to do? Everyone's going to ape in. Everyone in this room is going to be like, oh, fuck, like, Doge is going up. Like, he said to get it at, what was it when we talked about it at first? It was like 7 cents or something. Maybe 6 cents, like, I don't know, and now it's like 15 or something.
Yeah, 7.2 or something.
Yeah, like, so something like that, under 8 cents. And it was like, when it starts going up, people are going to start talking about it. And the reality is, it's everywhere. And, like, you know, everyone on the planet who's in crypto knows that Doge absolutely fucking mooned, right? It, like, it doesn't have to prove anything to anybody. And I think that's an important sort of like feature of it. So I think it's like, if other meme coins run, it's just sheer advertising for Doge to eventually run. And it's like that chart I've been posting on Doge is like, it's finally had its 200-day moving average start to curl up. And man, when the 200-day moving average on Doge starts to move up, it like things go straight vertical. Arguably, it's already straight vertical. It's just not like we're watching over weeks or months or whatever, so we're not noticing it. But if you look at how long it takes for Doge last time to run from like the bottom to the top, it was about 6 months, you know, and so it doesn't take that long. Like when you're sitting and watching, it's like watching a, you know, kettle boil or whatever, but it really is. The movements are quite fast. So I think like at this point, it's like whatever you were intending to buy in crypto, you should have it by now. I think like I added a little bit more on this dump. I had some extra money sitting around. So I was like, I'll go ahead and grab some. All these coins I bought last week, I bought them all on the way down and just added to my bags. to basically like top them all off, and they're all in the green now pretty much already, but you know, after having done that. So it a bunch of little micro caps and stuff will run. But I think one of the ways to, like Bruce was saying earlier, how to like preserve wealth is you want to save a big bag of like maybe 10 or 20% of your gains. You're going to want to save that for sticking in like future micro caps that you can then gamble on in the future, like in the next few years. Because it, like, think about it. If you, anything that you buy in the bear market at the absolute bear bottoms, or you scale in after something's dumped 90% or 95%, you don't have to move very much upside to basically double or, you know, 2x or even 10x your bag. So that's a much easier way to multiply your money than to try to like capture the exact top of whatever the fuck coin you have. And it's always feels terrible to like exit and then your coin keeps running. You're like, oh shit, I could have held that thing and it would have, you know, I would have like whatever. Like, but the reality is that you might not have held that long either way, right? So there's some things you're going to exit early and, you know, it's fine. And then you just find something else. There's always something else. Like truly, like it's just not that hard to find shit to buy. Even like all the crap I bought in the stock market the last 2 years is all up too. Most of the items are that I picked up, even like the bare, but like infrastructure stocks and agriculture, whatever, everything's gone up, and paying out dividends and stuff. I was like looking at my taxes. I'm like, ooh, I'm gonna have to pay a lot of dividends this year, taxes from that particular thing. So anyway, there's always something somewhere to buy. So, like preserve some capital here and there, I think is good. But as far as like, yeah, timing of this market, like I'd say next, if I'm right, like the next 2 weeks, things go fucking nuts. You start to see impulse move after impulse move on Total 3 coins. ETH possibly break all time high within, you know, the next month or so, hopefully. And everything else starts to pick up. And then, and by that point, like Solana is going to start working on its all time high break again. And if ETH and Solana get to that level, then everything else will probably run as well. You know, like, and Solana just happened to be the growth story for this season. And I'm not fully convinced, by the way, it'll stay the growth story for next season. Like these things, like you think they're going to be the next fucking thing since sliced bread, like Ethereum or whatever. But then you have all sorts of other players that come in and like take the cake. That's why, like, to me, the Link story is really good, because like, it doesn't really matter which chain wins at this point, the way CCIP is going. Like if you don't connect to CCIP, your chain is basically fucking useless pretty much. That's the level that's getting to. Cause all the interesting liquidity, is going to come to that now, I think. And I suspect that it's going to be successful for all these reasons. And now like so many layer twos are connected to it. So like indirectly, you know, Link holders benefit from, one, maybe from staking rewards and all that shit, but that's even less the point. More, it's the network effect. People believe it has value, so they'll buy it. And the more people that know about it and more, like, you know, right curvers know about it, then they're going to be more aggressively hodling the thing. So I think, like, the downside risk is more mitigated. It doesn't have, like, the meme coin dump effect. Like this run just now, it went to 21, it dumped to like around 16, and now it's already back up to about 18.5, and maybe it ranges for a while, maybe it heads straight back up, but it's gonna come back up if it dips. That's the thing. So you can sleep comfortable knowing that, like, no matter how far down it goes, people are gonna buy it. Like, that's, it's that simple. And once you realize that, then you're like, okay, I can just simply get as much as I want of this thing and don't have to even think about it.
You remember the last leg up on Link was actually on this Hong Kong meeting, I think, where they actually said they're partnering with HSBC or something, but it started to run. So actually in the first week of April, there's another Web3 meeting in Hong Kong. And I'm wondering, you know, if that actually is kind of helping Link again.
Oh, could
because
be.
It just
could stopped. Be. Because then you have like a bunch of Chinese buyers buying in, right? Could be.
Yeah. So that, you know, pretty big. I might be going there.
Yeah, these conferences have some effect for sure. But I think the big move for Chainlink earlier in October was related to that Bankless episode too. So
yeah, it's more like on the professional side, it's not so much the degens that go to these kind of meetings. It's more like people that try to build something. There's also some, even like Caitlin Wood, I think, is coming. It's like there's some rather famous keynote speakers on this event, at least. So, yeah, let's see.
Some catalyst. To me, it's the safe fundamentals play. It'd be like owning like early BTC or early Ethereum. The idea is like the network effects are likely going to be very big. Worst case scenario, if I'm a bag holder, fine, I can hold it for years, who cares, it's not a big deal. And the long range view is looking really good, so that's a good way to sort of like, you know, picture that. Whereas something like a Doge would be like, you clearly want to ride the pump and sell at some point. And with Doge, my theory is, okay, like, based on where we're starting this season, like, it could readily get in a full meme cycle, which, by the way, I don't think the meme cycle's ever really over. Not really. Like, if you look at last time, like, Doge ran for months and months.
There's always degens, right?
Yeah. Well, you'll get like your dips, and then it'll retrace for a little bit, and then it'll pump again, and then get a dip and whatever. But I think, like, you know, going back to a dollar is pretty much straightforward as far as like where the market cap would be relative to BTC. And I think having it do another 10x from there is actually possible. So getting close to like $7 to $10 would be impressive.
I'm actually wondering if we are front running the entire cycle. You know, it's like now the first,
I think so,
the ATH break.
I think so.
And so we could, like, you know, my bet is like in maybe even February of 25, we could see a top there. You know, I wouldn't be such a clear top, I guess, but it's like way earlier than most people think.
I don't think meme coins like Doge, for example, I don't know that they can sustain a pump that's like, I don't think they can sustain a bull market that's more like a year or 2 years. Because if you think about how the attention cycle works, you know, everyone wants to get rich really quick with a meme coin. So like, you buy it because you think it's going to go up.
They're gonna, if they top out, they're gonna bleed on the exponential scale.
Yes, it bleeds
right?
fast. And it's not just linear bleed. So when it bleeds fast, like, you know, the rush to the exits is fairly quick, because as soon as it dumps 30%, then people are like, oh shit, like, my bag just lost, you know, my $10 million bag just lost $3 million or something like that, right? So what they'll do is the numbers start to look impressive to be in people's head, right? There are paper losses, so you wind up getting sort of a fairly deep aggressive retracement for meme coins. That's going to be expected. So the thing is, like, you have to almost like pre-manage an expectation as far as like what kind of market cap we can reach before you even start jumping in, right? Because right now it's like 20 billion market cap. So you 5x from here, you know, you're getting basically back to all-time high, and you're already at like 100 mil market cap at that point. So, you know, so, but I think you can definitely run higher than that for sure this time, but you'll be in fairly lofty territory for sure. Right. Like, so, but again, it depends. Like, if BTC and ETH run to big, you know, these multi-trillion-dollar market caps, then these things can do this. Like, it's possible. Because people's expectations change and they just keep bidding up the price, right? Like, they don't care about the market cap at that point. It's just like market caps become a meme when the herd comes and just buys up everything. So the play on Doge is simple in that, like, when a bunch of newbies show up, at this point, are they likely to get some Doge? The answer is yes, right? That's all you need to know, really. Like, what else is the thesis? That's it. And, you know, some of these other stuff like Pepe and whatever, that's great, but you have to basically go into DeFi to get that for the most part. And maybe, like, when time goes on into the bull market, some exchanges will list it and stuff. That's possible. But it's even more dimwit to buy. Like, Dogecoin is the absolute most dimwit meme coin to buy. It's the simplest shit to buy, period.
Like, yeah, it's definitely a hurdle for meme coins, right? If you have to, let's say, push some two extra buttons and install some app, it's not going to work for most of
you. Yeah, so, like, that's the thing. That's why, even though Doge is like a big market cap, and you might say, well, why would I want to get into something with a 20 billion market cap? Why don't I go into something with, like, you know, a 10 million market cap or something? That's the enticement. It's that the market cap can get gigantic because everyone knows it. It's the same way, like, why BTC can do really well or Ethereum can do well. When everyone knows it, it's considered like blue chip at that point. And there's a good chance, by the way, a lot of people will cycle their existing meme coin profits. Cause like thing is, there's many people that have already done like 10 and 100x on their meme coins. It's very easy to get another 5x on Doge.
You should actually talk to ZephyrSwap and have them integrate Doge.
Yeah. Yeah. They probably will. Like ThorChain, I mean, ThorSwap has it, for example. It's easy to integrate once you have UTXO chains already onboarded.
I think it's not that difficult to get those integrated. Not like Solana or something. Probably no work, but they're getting on there as well. Anyways, so yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
So
that's like the Doge interest. Zephyr is obvious in that it's like its market cap is so small and its hash rate is so high. It's just a matter of playing catch up. So probably it's been lagging a bit only because people have been like attention has been diverted elsewhere. And also because, you know, the hash rate's been so high that, you know, obviously there's supply coming into the market. But even still, it's held up quite nicely. So we're talking about like only like under 60 mil market cap. It just doesn't take that much money to pump it. So when the... go ahead.
Did you hear that about the hard fork where it would actually reduce the minting fees?
Yeah, I think that's coming soon. So I'm not sure.
I'm just not sure how much they reduce the fees right now. It's like 2%. And they're like, yeah, it's too bad for adoption. It's too high. So they want to get it lower. But I haven't got a clear answer where they want it to be after the hard fork. It's like 0.1% or 0.5%.
I don't know. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
They, I don't think they said exactly.
Well, it'll help. Yeah. Definitely to have that figure lower because it's just like, I mean, it sells it's less, right? I mean, it's like 98 cents or 97 cents. You can get it on ZEGEX or whatever. So that's not very enticing for a stablecoin to always trade at a discount. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like it'll favor more arbitrage and correction of the actual stabilizing the peg if you have more trading of it. So the ability to swap to create ZSD is going to be a useful thing for sure. Making it cheaper, I mean, especially to use it as a trading instrument, like when the thing pumps or whatever, you want to be able to convert to stablecoin. So, but yeah. So anyway, like the next couple of weeks, and if you pull up, really just pull up Google Trends on Doge and pull it up on Link and everything, clearly the herd is coming because Google Trends is reaching like the 20% level where, you know, it's out of 100 points, you know, these are reaching like 20 plus. And really, like, once you hit around 30-ish is where you have gigantic price pumps. Like, things just go parabolic straight up. And if you don't believe me, just go back and look at all the altcoin charts and look at the Google Trend charts. You could ask the question, like, wait, does the Google Trend first or does the price come first? Or is it like, what? But it's really just a feedback loop. It's price gets attention gets price, and people start aping in, and like everyone else wants to be in the thing that they think is going to go up. And to the price going up is the signal that this is what I should be in. Essentially, people like to follow green candles more than anything. So, and really like the last season, 2020, like this type of pullback in the altcoin space, this exactly happened at exactly this time after BTC hit high last time, where like BTC did a little pullback. I don't remember how much it was, like 20K to like 17 or 16K or something. And then the altcoins again, like they dumped, like just like they did this time. And it like, it looks all scary and shit. But if you notice, if you look at Doge, you look at Chainlink and all these things, none of those, the dump did not actually take us down to the 200-day moving average. It's just basically like testing below the 50-day moving average and that kind of thing. So really, the momentum is still hot on all of these things. And you basically have a 200-day moving average. It's pretty much at a like 45-degree angle, essentially, for most of these coins. So that usually signals a very long, long run. We're talking about like anywhere from 1 to 2 years of sort of a run. But the thing is that during the quote-unquote bull run, last time what happened was the proof of work coins, Ethereum Classic, Litecoin, Dogecoin, they all peaked in a 5 month or so time frame right after BTC crossed its all-time high. So they peaked with the first Bitcoin peak, essentially, and did not continue upwards after that. So I think the thing to kind of realize is that any of these types of coins, you probably want to be out of them, you know, probably in the next 3 to 4 or 5 months, depending on how bullish you are about that shit. But basically, like, if you're in early enough, let's say Doge right now, let's say the memes come out and they're like, everyone's calling for $10. Oh, fuck it. Get out at $2. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's 15 cents right now. What do you give a fuck? You're early enough that it doesn't matter. So that's the key, is being early so that, like, you win no matter what. Like, you don't try to gamble, you know, whatever the meme says that you should gamble on. Like, remember last season it was Doge to a dollar. And I think Doge went to like 73 cents, for example. You know, there's that Saturday Night Live thing, and it like kind of topped out, and you had peak, like peak newbie entrants coming in, buying up the top essentially. And then you had like crashes, further buyers got exhausted. Cause there comes a point at which like the people that were already there, they're not going to be putting in more money. And then they start dumping in fairly large bags. And so of course it dumps fast. So anyway, but yeah, like with Doge, consider that. And then of course, like now there's probably even more leverage on Doge than there was last time. So, there's more places to play on leverage. And previously what happened was the Doge wasn't available on every exchange. It was available on some of them, and then it got added to a bunch as the season went on. This time it's on everything now, and it could pump relatively fast. But on top of that, get pumped even more with leverage. So what you want to do is get in, like, you know, now is a good time to get in, because then have other people pump your bag with their leverage. You don't want to be the one pumping other people's bags leverage. Like, that's basically the bottom line. And like, I picked up some at like 16 cents. And then the other, just yesterday or day before, it dropped to 12 cents. And I basically just kept adding to that bag. So I've got a pretty good sack of Doge, to where if it does a 10X or whatever, it'll be a healthy, you know, healthy amount of money. And I think 10X is very reasonable. Doing doing like a 20X would be on the hard side. 10X, I think, is very doable for Doge. That's the thesis. With Chainlink, I think it's not really clear. There's more link on supply on the market now compared to last season. But at this time, there's way more narratives and there's a lot more use cases for link than there was before. So the token actually has a purpose now, whereas last season it did not. Last season, Link went from, you know, whatever dollars to 53-ish or whatever, and performed quite well. And then kind of like petered out the second half of the season. Now we're starting at about $5 to $7, you know, like level, and we're at right now about $18 or something. And I think my thesis generally is any really, really legit project is likely to break prior high. That's a good way to think about it. That would put Link at 53 again, which would still be like at least a 3X from here. And then beyond that, I think it's quite possible to run past, and then Fib extensions for Link run up to like, I think it's like 100, 140. And then 250 or something like that is a much higher extension. So three extensions up. Now, can it reach that? I don't know. Like, between, like, you know, Chainlink the company dumping some bags and, you know, whatever else, I don't really know. But that 140 to 250 range with a raging bull market would be sort of ideal in my book. And I think it's rational to even like get out at maybe like anything above 100, you could probably start considering it. Even if like you're going to keep a long-term bag or something like that, it's probably not unreasonable to like think about that 140 to 250 range for Link, kind of where you set your alarms at. Again, this all depends on just the general market pumping and whatever, right? So I don't really know if and when these things actually happen, or do you even get to those high numbers. A lot of dino coins failed to actually get to a lot of dino coins made it to prior highs, but they didn't necessarily perform dramatically higher than that during last bull market. So there's no guarantees, but I would say of all of the dino coins that have like really strong merit, like they're actually doing something, strong fundamentals, strong technology, et cetera, that would be Link. And it's actually being adopted layer ones and stuff are using layer twos are using it like crazy. And so the technical thesis is at least there to reach high numbers. The you know, because the narratives like real world assets and this and that, the narratives require like, you know, constant media attention and YouTube videos and whatever else. And there's plenty of content to create on Chainlink. In fact, I would say like Chainlink appears to have more content you could create than practically every chain. Like there is not one chain right now that has as much interesting shit happening as all the Chainlink integrations. So the network effect of all of those chains and dApps and protocols and whatever, incorporating all these Chainlink products, is just a constant like newsfeed thing. They're just nonstop. So that's kind of the bullish case for that. It's like the exact opposite of where Atom is, where like nobody fucking knows what it does and nobody like has any, there's literally no talk about it at all. So it'd be like the absolute antithesis of that at this point. So if you like, if you want right curve type of play with like good fundamentals, unlikely to go to zero. Maybe it doesn't perform as much as all the meme coins. Maybe it does. Who knows? Like Chainlink could be the kind of like the one you can sleep at night knowing you're probably reasonably safe relative to a lot of other things. Versus meme coins, when the run is over, like you'll know it's over after the coins drop 50%. Right, that's the problem with those type of things. Although that could be said for Link too. Any alts, like by the time you know the trend has shifted, you've already had a 50% drop a lot of times. So either you're selling on the way up or you're selling after that 50% drop, knowing full well that, like, let's say you get Chainlink to 250, you drop 50%. Well, you're still at 125. You're still doing fine, right? Like that's how you think about this stuff. You should be okay with a 50% drop if you bought early enough. And, you know, wherever the top might be, but a 50% drop from a top usually signals, especially if there's a big volume spike when that happens, it usually signals like at least a local top. So that's where you want to be careful, or at least like consider selling or whatever it is you're going to do. Anyway, but that's kind of the general thesis. So I think the next, like if the previous cycle theory holds, next 5 months should be it. Wabi's making some points about like just how the monthly effect on just markets and stuff, like the cycle, the part of the year that you're in. I don't know that crypto this cycle is going to care about what cycle part of the year we're in exactly. Because of the ETF thing and a variety of other things, like this time is just different than previous times. And, you know, I'm not sure, what that means as far as like the summer and do we get like a big correction and maybe go sideways for a period of time? That's possible too. Like that'd be pretty bullish actually. If you kind of like, let's say we get one more impulse move this season, or, you know, like let's say a Link goes from 20 to 40, let's say, a Doge gets to like, you know, close to a dollar, you get a big pullback and then you go sideways for 6 months or something, or like, you know, drawdown and retracement. And then you get another pump by Christmas time and run again. That'd be fine too. But really tough to tell, like really, really tough. Like the people that claim they can like predict this perfectly is just not true. So you just have to have it decided what you're going to do with your money and like figure out where you're going to fuck around and find out basically. So anyway, and then like I picked up some other junk. Let me kind of like pull up what those are. So there's some discussion about the base economy, which is like the Coinbase layer two. I haven't heard like the, like anything particularly amazing about that economy, but I, when Up was mentioning it, I picked up the, one of the coins on that platform, which is the primary DEX called Aerodrome, AERO. And that's currently at an acceptable price to consider. It is available on Coinbase, which makes it easy to get. It's backed by Coinbase Ventures apparently as well. So that helps. And then it's like market cap of 290 million already, but has pretty decent volume at like 13 million. It has a decent circulating supply versus non-circulating and whatnot. And I think is a reasonable play to have a small bag of if you expect. Like,
you know what's weird, mm-hmm. Seffy? I find it so weird that like, I find it so weird that
about base.
Whenever you order something online, right? The real thing is never available. Like if I want to order some milk, why is there no milk, but there's always some almond milk or some soy milk?
Where the hell?
There's no burgers.
Why are you ordering milk online? But
there's vegan burgers. Huh?
Why are you ordering milk online? What's wrong with you?
Because I have a 50% off coupon.
For fuck's sake. Skip that for a minute. Are you getting anything in the base ecosystem or skipping that narrative?
I think I'm going to skip that, man.
Just not. You're just going to stick straight to what?
To say, because I'm friends with Grover and he can just tell me what to buy. So
that's a good point.
The next day,
hey, where's he been lately?
I don't know.
I haven't seen him around.
Knows where Grover is. Yeah,
he's where the hell is he talking go? About? Yeah, he's supposed to be telling us what to buy. But
yeah, the story about parallel EVMs and other shit. Whatever that means.
But what's the point of these parallel EVMs? Like, is there a need for them? Like, it's basically just more layer twos, right?
I mean,
fundamentally.
Dude, I couldn't tell you what I can't even tell you what an EVM is, bro. It's just another L1. That's it, bro. Just you buy a token on the exchange, you port it over to the native wallet. Well,
EVM usually means
you just buy shit coins on the chain, and that's it.
Well, so, EVM is usually that you can run, Solidity and whatnot related to the chain. Some of these things are like full on layer twos, like, you know, Polygon is a Cosmos chain, but it like runs as a layer two. And then there's other things that are just like this parallelized EVM concept. And I'm not sure what the difference is between those two things.
It's a tongue twister, isn't it?
Yeah. Parallelized EVMs.
Whatever that
is. But yeah, I think Metis is.
Nobody knows what any of this is, bro.
Yeah. Metis is a layer two.
Nobody knows.
Base is a layer two.
Well, what's a layer two, bro?
Well, layer two is
what is that? What are we even talking about?
Well, layer two is pretty much you're still on like you're still doing finality on Ethereum main chain.
What's finality?
Well, you're writing all your transactions in a batch, like so you do a bunch of
what transactions. What does that even mean?
Well, you have all your transactions that you're running on your main chain, and for transactional security, for security purposes, you're writing to the L1. Yeah. What's up, buddy?
What does any of that even mean, dude? Nobody knows what any of this
not
is.
Much of anything, we're just apparently
making it. You want to know something, man?
And there's not an obvious reason why these L2s can't become their own L1s, too, by the way, which is funny.
Man, L1s, L2s. I'll show you a layer 5 burrito at this point, brother.
The point is, like you buy low and sell high.
It's all a scam.
So the thing is, like,
it's all a scam.
Every single one of these things has something that's low that hasn't run yet, and you just have to find that thing. At least in base, it looks like Arrow's reasonable. Chart looks good, and I think you could probably easily get.
I met a lot of these guys in person. Mm-hmm. They're all freaks.
This is true, but yeah, so what?
Like they don't know how to speak in person. Like, dude, nobody knows what they're doing. You just have some idiot from Silicon Valley raise $100 million, and then you have some like cults on Twitter. But all this shit, we're just having fun with it right now, all right? But all these guys, dude, in person, yeah, they
just
have
it's
no
just Chuck E. Cheese tokens, which is fine.
Yeah, like bro, I spoke to a few people that work for these projects. They're all miserable. The only people that make the real bucks are the guys that just spend time on Twitter and go on Zoom calls and then use their VC money to go on conferences and then, I don't know, hang out at like coffee bars with blue haired people. That's what I saw.
So you saw Denver. The blue haired.
Yeah,
crowd.
Man. It was it was so cringe, dude. Like there has to be like some real men in this space. Like, bro, when I met the Fuel Network team, dude, what a fucking disgrace, man. They should be ashamed of themselves. It's just a bunch of like nerdy guys that can't grow a beard, can't do a handshake, can't look at you in the eye, can't speak up properly. You know, and the women are doing all the
devs
talking.
Devs have to be sitting in front of a computer
to
like
speak
that.
Speak to people. Dude. But why are they at a conference? Devs, like, that's the thing. Like, why are you getting paid off of the backs of someone else, off of someone else's expense? Like, you need to be a man, look at me in the eye, talk product, and show me that you're not a LARP. But you proved me right. They proved me right. You're just LARPing. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't even tell me what you think about the market. What's wrong with you? Like, you're going to be out of a job in a year, man.
Yeah, like, the coders don't look at all that shit, dude. Like, the coders are just sitting there typing on a computer.
The coders are in a basement in Serbia. They're not in Denver on a booth with merchandise. You want to know who had to take over the conversation when I was at these booths, man? Women. How are you as a man giving the reins to a woman? You need to be leading the charge on your product. If you're quote unquote head of business development, then why aren't you conducting business
and developing some relationships with
someone that has money? You know what I'm saying? I've got a reputation.
And well, the women of Web3 is why no one's having any babies. And like, you know, the population's in decline. I've been saying this, ringing this bell.
Yeah. Like the women are the ones that are sending their Calendly links while the guys, they just. I don't know, man. They don't really do anything. They just, I don't know, man. They
I
just
swear,
monitor.
I won't do anything. I won't do anything that requires a Calendly. People are like, oh, like
Calendly.
I'll come do
it's actually pronounced Calendly.
People be like, oh, I'll come to a Twitter Spaces. You mind adding like, you know, whatever this Calendly link? I'm like, fuck no, I'm not doing a Calendly link. Like, get out of here.
What is that? Someone corrected me and they said it's actually Calendly. Actually. Nerds.
Whatever it is, I'm not using it. I know that for sure.
I'll tell you what, I'm about to order some Sun Chips.
So you what? You bought Sun Chips? Sun Chips are actually
one of like, yeah, also 50% off coupon. This is the thing that people want to listen to. Like, man, these guys, right? Like, you're supposed to be, if you want me to buy your Ponzi, you're supposed to, like, you know, talk about the market, but also have people like you, son. I went to Modular Day, dude. All I saw a bunch
are you,
of people
are you saying that, like,
dude, they have no cognitive function. If we're
are you telling me that East Denver would have been better if they served Sun Chips?
Probably, man, but son, I wasted $40 on some chicken tenders, some French fries, American fries, French fries. You can imagine the dessert I had eating some fucking French fries. I want some, dang it. So listen here, Bo. I had chicken tenders with fries and a drink, and it was $30. $30. You can only imagine the frustration that I had eating a kid's meal for $30. But everybody else was happy. They all got their little merchandise from their Ponzi.
That's how conferences are, man.
Yo,
but I don't understand it. Why does it have to be that way, man?
Yo, King.
And it's just like there's no life in this thing, man. There's no life. It's just a bunch of
King,
people without
I have
souls.
Some questions, King.
But I did meet questions. An e-girl.
Bobby, can you hear Eric?
She gave me her. Eric Lencher?
Like no, Eric, Magneto? Right here. He's trying to talk to you.
No, he's a listener. He's going to have to drop off and then come back.
Yo, you're
the semi-co-host.
I think it's you that's broken, Webb, because you've been losing your connection here periodically here.
Okay. Yeah. I'll go ahead and let me see real quick.
Oh, shoot. My phone tweaking, bro.
All right. Give me a sec. I'm going to add these sun chips to my order real quick. All right.
Go ahead.
Here we go. Upgrade. Oh, I can hear Eric Lencher right now. Magneto, what's up, man?
King, man, I've been listening for a little bit, so at this point, I have some questions because you seem like you're fairly experienced in the Web3 space. So,
I don't know what Web3 is, man, but I'll tell you this, man.
Tell me everything I need to know, bro.
But listen here. So there are times where I know the answers to questions that others don't even know how to ask. So perhaps I already know the answer to your question, but I'll happily oblige to any inquiries that you have.
Okay, King. So let me start off by saying this. That being said, what is like, what are the narratives in the crypto space right now?
Is that the only question?
Well, I'm still trying to kind of like put together everything. So I'm not as experienced in Web3, but it's definitely like a sector to look into.
Yeah.
It's definitely a sector to look into, bro.
I like gaming. That's a sector that I think is going to kick off here shortly. If you take a look at AI, most of it has already gone parabolic in the short term. So I think there are some names in the AI sector that probably run. So one of them is called DEAI. Some of the blue chips seem for cooked.
Wubby, your connection's coming in and out. Can you get to a better spot? Sort of.
Yeah, it's breaking up a little bit right now, though. But
am I good now?
Yeah, I can hear you now. But
Eric, let's start with this. Like,
I'm listening. Just keep talking, bro.
Eric, what bags do you have now? Like, let's start with that. Like, what did you buy so far? You there, Eric? Can you hear me? What just happened?
Wait, so King, what do you do for a living, bro?
Eric, can you hear me? I guess he can. Wabi, can you tell him to drop?
He's okay. So, when somebody's currently talking, I guess this is a good time to introduce myself to everybody listening. My name's Eric, and currently on the forefront of a wholesaling real estate operation that I'm running. And in my prime, I took it from zero to $22,000 in a month. And that was me as the CEO. I had a business partner at the time, but for the most part, I was basically doing most of the work, but I did have help from my pal. And that's basically where I'm at right now. Currently have some stuff in the making, have some collaborations brewing. Therefore, I'm trying to.
I don't think Eric can hear any of us. So can you guys hear me? I just dropped him. He'll have to come back if he needs to come back. Cause like,
yeah, man. I'll say this, dude, I got a Papa John's pizza. A stuffed crust. I'm gonna have that with Sierra Mist. And mind you, I haven't had pizza in like 2 fucking weeks.
Get some banana pepper on there.
No, I'm gonna have it with plain cheese, man. Cause like the thing is, right? Like people think that pizza's bad for you. It's really not. It's fucking soda that destroys you. It's soda, it's candy, it's juice. That stuff destroys you. And I would know because I consumed a lot of that stuff. Kind of got myself in like this emotional hole. I went through like a breakup
back in December. It was quite rough on me, honestly. It kind of destroyed me for a couple of weeks. But yeah, off the backs of that, when I was like recovering from getting sick, I was sick for like a little over 2 weeks or something like that. I just kind of did some thinking. I'm just like, yeah, it's time to move on from that and just fully move on forward. But
you're now onto like Sun Chips and pizza, but no more soda.
No. I'm saying like I'm having these things more moderately now, because before sure. It was like okay. a lot of binge eating, right? It's like gym and I have to get all these calories in and all that stuff. But now it's like I'd rather just have one day where I have all these things. But mind you, the chips aren't for today. Like, I'm just taking advantage of this coupon. But yeah.
It's like a mass order of Sun Chips. That's funny.
No. It's just like a normal bag of Sun Chips. I got some water, my milk. I think I should probably order like one more thing of milk, to be honest, to take advantage of this thing. But Seffy, who's the largest guy at the gym that you own?
I don't know. That guy's pretty big. I don't remember. I don't know all the stats and all that shit. I don't memorize all those things like you do.
Yeah.
But they do kind of an annual like bodybuilding show and stuff like that too. It's, you know, pretty popular.
Yeah. Yeah. You ever had those cookies called Lornadone?
No. What is that? Like a protein thing or something?
No, it's just some cookies, some shortbread cookies, Lornadone.
Anyway, guys, I think I'm gonna
crypto.
I need to get to sleep for one time this time, like at a proper time to get my timings back in line. Like this morning, I couldn't sleep till 3 o'clock last night and ended up waking up with having to go to work with no sleep.
Yikes. Or,
anyway. So anyway, I think we'll drop for the moment.
Yeah, sure. Safe. Have a nice evening.
All right. See you later, noob. We'll catch up later.
All right. Peace, man.
There's this principle in Taoism where it's just like the more you fight something, the more like the opposite of what you want, like just inevitably it kind of starts to happen. There's this principle in like Taoism where it's just like the more you fight something, the more like the opposite of what you want, inevitably it kind of starts to happen.
Chirping on the bird app, listening to nerds flap, wondering why the fuck my timeline's so cursed. It's like everybody's holding heavy bags in Web3. That's why they can't fly, they just drowning in the bird bath, fishing for some dry powder. Watch how we ignite the tower, blowing up their bank accounts, forgetting how to fight the power. Y'all don't even realize how deep this shit goes. They preach an open source, but don't listen to the code. And now it's mutiny, community, uprise. There's no more humility, futility, plus size. Motherfuckers leaking from the wrench down to the bare metal. Which side of the line you bleeding out on when the dust settles? Motherfucking west side shit, needle and noose. Sticking with my armory, Yambato and Bruce. Repping psychedelic artistry, believing the truth. Like these motherfuckers even need a reason to sue? GM fam.
Is it really worth all the effort? Is it really worth all the fighting? Is it really worth all the drama? And the answer, I think, is a clear no.
They started using Zoom, now we finna zoom out, teaching all these plebiscites what this game's really all about. Little baby bitches when they choose to have fits, all you're left with is kibble when you lose all them bits. And that kibble's just sawdust, the shit is all rust. Not a great look, you're what we'd call all nuts. And I for one did not see that coming. cracking open books, yo, that's a lot of money. Meanwhile, over here, rewiring features, more critical thinking, less knee-jerk, more evolution, less shitcoin preachers, pretending to be teachers, y'all just predatory leeches. I mean, please, just look at the track record, a bunch of VC rat fucks, sucking up the cheddar, the recipe is two steps, rinse and repeat, now we all in your butts, and we bring in receipts. GM fam, have a seat.
If you're listening to this, my plea to you would be like, don't have to take a side on it. Just say like, is it really worth this war of attrition? It might cost us a lot more than what can be gained by like fighting this to the bitter end. And sometimes it's better to just like move on.
Channel spaces.